On Sunday mornings, we're thinking together about enjoying God. And of course, there are some things that stop us enjoying God. Some things that keep us back from that. And one of them is guilt. And guilt is like a weight. So I want you to imagine you're out for a walk. I want you to imagine that all around you there's beautiful scenery. You can see the mountains, you can see the hills in the background, you can hear the bird song on the hedgerows, and you can feel a lovely, pleasant breeze, God's outdoor aircon system. It's a fantastic day, but that lovely wee cool breeze to keep you going, and the birds are singing, and the sun is shining, and the scenery is beautiful. But the walk you're doing is no ordinary walk. You're doing Duke of Edinburgh. And so on your back is this burdensome rucksack, and it weighs a ton. So heavy. And every mountain you climb, the rucksack is weighing you down. And every valley you try to traverse, there's that rucksack on the top of your shoulders and on your back, and the weight, you just can't get away from it. And that heavy weight of that burdensome rucksack, it spoils the lovely walk you would otherwise be having, with the birds singing and the sun shining and the mountains in the background, but the weight spoils it all. And you know, when you know Jesus as your friend and Savior, the scenery is beautiful. Because the Bible says we're in Christ, and when we're in Christ, the one who is beautiful beyond compare, the scenery is beautiful. But we all have on our backs this heavy, burdensome rucksack of guilt. And that guilt over our sin is like a weight that we carry around with us everywhere. And what it does is it spoils our view of Jesus. It stops us appreciating how wonderful it is to be in Him. And so as we continue this series of enjoying God, I want us to think together about what it means to enjoy the Son's guilt lifting. I want to enjoy Jesus, God's Son, as I trust in Him. I want to enjoy Him lifting that rucksack of guilt off my back that stops me enjoying Jesus the way I should. I've mentioned before that these talks are based on a wonderful book by Tim Chester called Enjoying God. You really should buy that book and read it. It's fantastic. This morning I want to enjoy the Son's guilt lifting. If you open your Bibles then, please, at page 128, 1208. It's Hebrews chapter 10 and Hebrews chapter 12, those two very short segments we read together earlier. Page 1208 is where we begin. Because as we think about enjoying the Son's guilt lifting, here's the first thing, and that is where Jesus is. Where Jesus is. You see, if we know where Jesus is, it brings us calm and it brings us comfort. It is comforting to know where somebody is, isn't it? I don't know what age I was. I wasn't too old, but where our farm is, if you walk up the farm, up the road from our farm, maybe about, I don't know, a quarter of a mile, you come to Achram Hill. It's on our road. And our sheep used to keep up on Achram Hill, and we used to walk them up the road to Achram Hill. And one day we went up to Achram Hill. I think it was to dip them. There was a dipper on Achram Hill, and used to go up every so often and dip the sheep on Achram Hill. And we went up to do that. And I wasn't too old, and I went up with Daddy and Uncle John. And then he said to me, now you stay with the sheep, we're going up to gather the rest of them, and we'll be back soon. And I was only a nipper, of course, and I decided to wander off a bit. And I wasn't too big even then, and the brackens were way over my head. And I got lost. I had no idea where I was. And then I panicked. And I knew enough, I didn't know much, but I knew enough to keep going down, because I knew if I kept going down, I would come to one of the walls on Achram Hill, and I did that. And there was an elderly man and his son who lived just across the road from Achram Hill. And I went over to Charlie and I said, Charlie, would you take me home? And I was probably crying. And Charlie took me home. But Daddy and Uncle John came down. They had no idea. There were no mobiles. And they came down. And they probably thought I'd fallen into the dipper. I never thought. And they'd searched me and couldn't find me. And Daddy at last came down the road. And he was so relieved when he knew where I was. Because he hadn't a clue where I was. It brings us comfort when we know where somebody is. And it's just like that with the Lord Jesus. When we know where Jesus is and we're following him, it brings us great comfort. And Tim Chester picks up on just that. So where is Jesus? Well, he's ahead of us. So chapter 12, you look to page 1210, actually, first of all. Page 1210, Hebrews 12, verses 2 and 3. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. It says that Jesus is like the author of our faith. And what that means is that Jesus is the very first in a long line. Jesus is somebody who pioneers the way for others to follow. So where is Jesus? He's gone ahead of us. He's the pioneer. He leads the way and we follow. He leads from the front. That's what Jesus does. Reminds me of an absolutely true story I read just a week or two ago about the Battle of Britain. And you know, the Battle of Britain was really key for the defence of our nation during the Second World War. And the battle raged over our skies between the RAF and the German Air Force, the Luftwaffe. And I was reading just a few days ago about, and this is an absolutely true story, about an acting lieutenant in the RAF, a man called Peter Brothers. And Peter Brothers was out one day with eight RAF aircraft. There were just that little squadron of eight of them. And they came across, as they flew across the British skies, they came across 100 Luftwaffe bombers. And those Luftwaffe bombers were protected by a squadron of Messerschmitts, the German RAF, who were protecting their bombers. And immediately, without thinking, Peter Brothers engaged the Messerschmitts and the bombers and led his squadron into an attack mode. He was later, you'll not be surprised to know, awarded the Distinguished Flying Cross. Against all the odds, he led from the front. And friends, do you know that's what Jesus has done? If you follow Jesus, what a comfort it is to know that Jesus leads from the front and that he's gone into battle ahead of us, taking on not the Messerschmitts of the German army, but taking on sin and Satan and death and defeating them all for us. And so I wonder what worries you today. I wonder what worries you today. Something's worrying you. I wonder what this week will hold for you. What a great comfort it is to know where Jesus is, that he's gone ahead of us. What a great comfort it is to know he already has engaged and taken on our greatest enemies of sin and Satan and death, and he's beaten them all. And so this day and tomorrow and this week and every week, when you're trusting in Jesus, know that he goes ahead of you. Whatever you have to face, isn't that a wonderful comfort to have? And you have it when you're following Jesus. Because of where he is, he's ahead of us. Every day, all day. Where he is, he's ahead of us. And where he is, he's representing us. Where is Jesus now? Well, he's representing his people. That's where he is, and that's what he's doing. Because you see, Jesus has finished his work of salvation on our behalf. And so because his work is completed, he's now sitting down and he's representing us before God his Father and our Father in heaven. If you look at chapter 10 of Hebrews 11 to 14, 1208 is the page number, Hebrews 10, verse 11 to 14. And this passage, as we said earlier on in the Bible reading, the writer begins by talking about the Old Testament priest who offered day after day after day sacrifice for people's sins at the temple. And so we pick it up in verse 11 of chapter 10. Day after day, every priest, every Old Testament priest, stands and performs his religious duties again and again. He offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest, that's Jesus, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Where is Jesus now? He's not running. He's not walking. He's not even standing. He's sitting. And what's he doing as he's sitting? He's representing us because his work of salvation on the cross is finished. Not what he said on the cross. It is finished. John 19 and verse 30. Jesus has done everything necessary to represent us. And so he sat down, says the writer, at the right hand of God in heaven. What do you do when you're finished for the day, when your work is done? Well, you probably veg out, don't you? Vegging out's quite nice, isn't it? We all like to veg out. Some of you don't look like you like to veg out. Some of you are smelling and you do like to veg out. I can see it in your eyes. I love vegging out. And so maybe in the evening when the work's done or your household chores are done or whatever, you maybe you lie up on the sofa, maybe you surf the net, maybe you do puzzles, maybe you watch Netflix, I don't know what you do, but you chill out in the evening and the work's done and you chill out and you veg out and you take it easy and you put your feet up and you sit down and it's brilliant, isn't it? And Jesus, when you're one of his followers, know for sure that Jesus is representing you before his Father in heaven, and that makes you eternally secure. Jesus has sat down, his work for you and me is finished. And know therefore that because it's finished and you're eternally secure, no sin you commit will stop God loving you. And no failure you're guilty of will keep you out of heaven. And no fit of anger, and no wrong or filthy thought, and no well-worn grudge will stop God treasuring and accepting you when you know Jesus. And so whenever you feel you're not really a great Christian, please remember that Jesus is representing you before his Father in heaven. Tim Chester comments on this, and I really like this. He says, this is how we enjoy Christ. We bring our failure to him and receive his grace in return. That's not a bad swap. Sure, it's not. So we say, Jesus, here's my failure. And Jesus says, here's my grace. It's a decent swap, isn't it? And that's the swap you've made when you're trusting in Jesus, because he's representing you. He sat down. He's with his Father. And that makes your place safe and secure. Now, there are some wonderful implications for this that really change our lives day by day because of where Jesus is, ahead of us and representing us. So, secondly, how we are blessed. So here are some wonderful ways we are blessed because of where Jesus is. So, two things, and then we're done. Number one, our guilt is lifted. We've talked about Jesus on the cross finishing the work of salvation for us. And I'm quoting Tim Chester again. He's commenting on how on the cross Jesus finished his work, and he puts it brilliantly, I think. Speaking about Jesus, Tim Chester writes, his work on the cross goes on speaking. It speaks to the Father as a permanent sign that the price of sin has been paid in full. We all go through bumpy patches when we're following Jesus. We're up and down sometimes. It's not all smooth. We have doubts, we have worries, we let God down. But our guilt is lifted, the price has been paid in full. One of the greatest Christian writers, well, for centuries really, is an Englishman called John Owen, one of the Puritans. And here's what he says about our guilt being lifted when we trust in Jesus. This is fabulous. He says, Jesus requires me to open my hands, to release my grip, and to let him deal with my sin. Do you remember we talked earlier on about that big rucksack of guilt that we carry around with us, all of us? But when we're trusting in Jesus, here's what he says. Jesus says we're to open our hands. Jesus says we're to release our grip from it. And Jesus says we're to let him deal with our sin. Isn't that fabulous? I mean, take a minute this morning. Genuinely, take a minute to think about your sins, whatever they are. And as you're thinking about your sins, and I'm thinking about mine as I say this, I want you to imagine taking those sins, and they're over here, and I want you to imagine taking hold of those sins, every one of them, and I want you to imagine handing them over to Jesus and saying, Jesus, here are my sins. Here are them all. Every one of them, Jesus, will you take them? And as you trust in Jesus, know that he has taken them, that they have been nailed to his cross at Calvary. And hear Jesus say to you this morning, I have taken your guilt. It's lifted off you. Your sins are vanished. However you sin as one of Jesus' followers, however you mess up, and Satan wants you to think today you're a useless Christian, that's what Satan wants you to think. Remember what Jesus says, I have paid for your sins, your guilt is lifted. Isn't it great to be trusting in Jesus and to have that guilt lifted? And by the way, and it's really important by the way, if you haven't asked Jesus and you haven't said to Jesus, take my sins, every one of them, and here they are, Jesus. If you've never said that to Jesus and never trusted him for it, trust him for it today. Why wouldn't you trust him to do this? Would you rather keep your sins and their guilt? Would you rather hold on to them yourself? Would you? Would it not be much wiser, much better to say, Jesus, here are my sins, here are them all. Take them, Jesus, and take my guilt. Do that today with Jesus. Trust in him if you've never done so. So how we're blessed because of where Jesus is, our guilt is lifted when we trust in him. And then the other way that we are blessed is that we can stop feeling the need to impress others. I really love this. I so love this point as well. Another way that we are blessed when we know where Jesus is ahead of us and representing us is that we can stop feeling the need to impress others. There's pretty much hardly anybody, I would suggest, who doesn't at times feel the need to impress others. We all like people to think well of us. None of us like people to think ill of us. But because of where Jesus is, that he's ahead of us, and that he's representing us, because of that, we can stop feeling the need to impress others. I mean, let's think about some of the ways we try to impress others. So let's say you're a young person at school. Nobody wants to look weak in front of their friends in class. Nobody likes that. I remember going back to study and going into Jordanstown. And there were 120 in my class. And I remember thinking, they're bound to be all smarter than me because they've done A-levels and stuff and I hadn't. I don't want to look a fool in front of my 119 classmates. I don't want to look stupid in front of them. Or maybe looking good is your motivation for working hard at work. You want to stand out, you want to make your mark. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm all for working hard. It's a good thing, and the Bible commends it. But what I'm saying, I think, is that when Jesus' followers realize that Jesus is in heaven on our behalf, and so because of that, we have Jesus' approval, and therefore, through Jesus, we have his Father's approval and the Spirit's approval. Because we have all of these approvals, Jesus' approval, his Father's approval, the Spirit's approval, because we have all these approvals in Jesus, it ends the need for us to look for other people and their approval. For we have all the approval we absolutely will ever need. And that's such a liberating thing. Whatever age you are today, it's brilliant to know that because you have Jesus' approval, and through that, his Father's approval and the Holy Spirit's approval. That's God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. because you have all these approval, you don't need any more approvals. You don't need the approval of other people. I think this is a big thing for some of us, and I think it's an especially big thing for young people. When you're a young person, especially perhaps, that can be true for all of us, but for young people especially maybe, you might feel you need other people's approval. Because there are all these expectations on you when you're a young person. And so you've got expectations of yourself, but then you've got all the expectations everybody else dumps on you. So maybe there's academic expectations from teachers or from high-flying classmates or from your parents. There's maybe academic expectations. Or there's maybe what I look like expectations. So from the culture all around you, from the internet, from the magazines, from other young people, about how you dress and what music you listen to and all that kind of stuff. Or maybe today you feel how popular I am expectations. You want to fit in. You want other people to like you. You want to be cool to be with. I have no idea, honestly, how you cope with those expectations without Jesus. I don't think I could do it. But when I follow Jesus, I realize, and this is brilliant, when I follow Jesus, I realize where Jesus is now, he's on heaven on my behalf. He's there. And because Jesus is in heaven on my behalf, I have his approval. And because I have his approval, I have his Father's approval. And I have the Holy Spirit's approval. And when I sum all that up together and I'm no good at maths, I realize I have the Son's approval and the Father's approval and the Spirit's approval, and that means all of God's approval. Those are all the approvals I'll ever need. And because I have all the approval I will ever need, it doesn't matter what other people think of me. Whether I have their approval or not is completely and totally irrelevant. And whether you're a young person today or you're 80, it doesn't matter. We all at times feel the need for the approval of others, and Jesus says, when you're trusting in me, you have my approval, and that's all you will ever need. I find that so liberating. It's brilliant. And when that dawned on me years ago, it changed my Christian life. And it will change yours too when you get it and it gets you. I want to enjoy the Son's guilt lifting. Don't we all need that rucksack of guilt lifted off our shoulders? We do. It's so heavy and so burdensome, and it's such a bore, and it stops us enjoying the beautiful scenery that we have when we're in Christ. And we can have that. We can have the Son's guilt lifting. Because of where Jesus is, that he's ahead of us. He already has gone ahead of us to defeat the most fierce enemies we'll ever face, sin and Satan and death. And the guilt that Jesus lifts off our shoulders comes because of where he is, that he's ahead of us, and that he's representing us. No sin you'll ever commit, no fit of anger, no filthy or wrong thought, no well-worn grudge will stop God accepting you when you're in Christ. And that's wonderful. And how blessed we are because of that. Because our guilt is lifted. That rucksack of guilt of our sins, when we take it and we say, Jesus, there you are. I've carried it along for too long and it's too much and it's weighing me down. And Jesus takes it and it's nailed to his cross. And Jesus says to us, I have taken your guilt away. Your sins are paid for. If you're following Jesus today, he has taken your guilt. All of it is placed on him. And if you will trust Jesus today for the first time, he will take that rucksack of your guilt and he will lift it off your shoulders. Why would you carry it around with you this week? Why would you carry around with you this week that rucksack of your guilt? Why would you not just give it to Jesus? His shoulders are far bigger and broader than yours. And as he lifts our guilt, we feel another blessing, and that is we can stop feeling the need to impress other people. As a young person or an older person, doesn't matter. When I trust in Jesus, he is in heaven on my behalf. I have his approval. And when I have Jesus' approval, I have the Father's approval and the Spirit's approval. And folks, that's all the approval I need. Whether people approve of me or not doesn't matter, Tuppence. Doesn't matter. What a liberating thought. And you have that. That is you when you're in Jesus and trusting him. If that doesn't help you enjoy God more, I don't know what will. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for where Jesus is. He's gone ahead of us. He's the pioneer. He's taken on all comers. He's defeated everything that drags us down. And we thank you, Father, that he's representing us in heaven, his people. That he sat down. His work of salvation is finished. Thank you for how blessed we are when we're in Christ. Thank you that our guilt is lifted. That big rucksack that we carry around with us and the ups and downs of life, it's taken off our shoulders and Jesus gladly places it on his. And thank you, Heavenly Father, that because our guilt is lifted, we know too that we have your approval, Father, Son, and Spirit. That's all we need. So help us not to run after the approval of others, because who we are in Jesus is what matters most. Help us to see that today, Lord, and encourage us, especially maybe if we're young people and we're worried about our own sense of identity, our own sense of worth. Help us to know that when we are in Jesus, when we're in Christ, we're treasured by him, by you, Father, and by the Spirit, and that's all we'll ever need. How brilliant that is. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.